It has been 26 years since law school professor Anita Hill shocked the nation with her detailed testimony in Congress about how Clarence Thomas sexually harassed her. Despite her courageous testimony, the Senate confirmed Thomas to serve on the Supreme Court. Long after the Anita Hill testimony, we are now hearing about other high-profile cases of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Let me acknowledge that there are situations when women harass and situations when men harass other men. But the vast majority of the time, sexual harassment involves men in positions of power harassing women. Sexual harassers are everywhere. Bill Cosby, Bill O'Reilly of Fox, Michael Oreskes of NPR, comedian Louis C.K., President Trump, Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore, and Hollywood mogul and Democratic Party funder Harvey Weinstein. Sexual harassment has been a problem for a long time, but in the Harvey Weinstein situation, we now see accusations from women we recognize from movies and TV, making the issue more visible. Will the public scrutiny last, or will it fade as our short attention spans move on? Will the opportunity for real change fade with it? One problem with the Harvey Weinstein effect is that it allows some people to minimize the damage of offenses less egregious than those committed by Weinstein. I've noticed this creeping into some media discussions. Horrific deeds are revealed about powerful men, often with the caveat, well, he didn't rape her. He's not like Harvey Weinstein. Gee, Michael Oreskes of NPR only put his tongue in the mouth and kissed female subordinates. He is no Harvey Weinstein. Gee, journalist Mark Halperin did masturbate in his office in front of a female staffer, and he did physically press against women when he had erections, but he sought counseling, and he has not done it in years. He is no Harvey Weinstein. Hearing these descriptions on the radio may make you uncomfortable, but think about what it was like to live through these experiences and reliving them in your mind over and over again if you were one of the women who were targeted. These are physical and emotional violations which scar people for life. There is nothing minor about these experiences, even if they don't reach the level of a Harvey Weinstein offense. Another troubling aspect of the Weinstein effect arises when women are publicly asked to tell their personal stories of sexual harassment. Many women have been sexually harassed or assaulted and have chosen not to tell anyone. It may have occurred when these women were children and they did not tell their parents. As adults, they often have not told their spouses or partners. Why ask them to reveal their pain and re-traumatize them? It is up to women to decide if they want to publicly share their pain. I have a suggestion. Rather than asking women if they have been sexually harassed, why not ask men if they have witnessed harassment and what they have done about it? It is not enough for good men not to be harassers themselves. Good men need to proactively get involved and stop harassment from happening wherever they suspect it, because sexual harassers are everywhere. They are at our work schools, in our places of worship. A study by the Harvard Graduate School of Education found that 87% of women aged 18 to 25 have been sexually harassed. Think about the waitress who relies on tips and has to put up with crude remarks and physical contact from customers. Think about the nanny or farm worker who is in the country illegally and fears deportation if she tells her story. Nurses, secretaries, soldiers, women in male-dominated fields like truckers and plumbers and electricians. Many women don't fight back because of their economic status. I still think the Harvey Weinstein revelations have brought us to a tipping point. More people are understanding that sexual harassment is widespread and the victimization of women by powerful men has been happening throughout our lives. Yes, we need to talk to and protect our daughters. But we especially need to talk to our sons and husbands and brothers and fathers and grandfathers if there is any hope of driving cultural change.